Welcome to Finding Your Right Mind with me, Vanessa Potter. Welcome to a brand new series where I'm doing something just a little bit different. This time, I am talking to women who have all hit a decade birthday during the pandemic. That's women aged from 20, 30, 40, all the way through to 90. And I'm still not giving up hope on finding a 100-year-old woman too. These women are us. They're you and me. And their stories are surprising, inspiring, and touch several nerves with me. And men, don't think this isn't for you either. There is much these women have to say about relationships, parenting, and life. I find, when it comes to birthdays, people fall into two camps. There are those that shout from the rooftops and celebrate the event, and there are those that don't. And that got me curious. Why is that? I'm somewhere in the middle myself, and it's because I'm turning 50 this year that it got me thinking about this in the first place. I noticed how reflective this particular birthday had made me, and I wondered if it was more than when I turned 40. I thought of all the things that had happened since then and how my life had turned upside down and reformed into what it is today. When I was 40, I was a television producer. Now at 50, I'm an author and science communicator. What have other women experienced in each of their decades? What changes have they experienced? How do they treat themselves now? And what have they learnt about themselves? So join me today as I chat to Miss Ghana Araya, a 20-year-old Atreian student studying economics. The questions I ask her in this interview are the same ones I ask every woman in this series. We'll start at 20 and we'll finish at 90. These questions have all come from other women. This is the wisdom they wanted to hear. 440 years worth, to be exact. As always, please do subscribe. And if you think you know someone who might like to listen to this series, tell them now. Subscribe and you'll get to hear every single episode as we go through all the ages. If you enjoy the episode, please do leave a review.
My name is Miss Ghana. At the end of last year, I turned 20. I currently study economics at university. I grew up in London, in particular South London, and I am from an Eritrean heritage, with both my parents being Eritrean.
Fantastic. And what are you studying, did you say? Economics?
Economics, yeah.
How's that going?
It's getting tougher. I think it's very different to what I thought it was, because I did it in GCSE and A-levels. This semester is, I think, very much more interesting because we picked the modules ourselves, so they're optional. So I think it's not like the conventional macro. It's more so like development. I think obviously it also links to other subjects like politics, policy, development, behavioral economics. That links to psychology and behaviors, and then financial. So obviously that just links to like everyday banking and stuff like that. So I find that very interesting.
And I suppose lots of people must be asking you if you kind of know where this is going to direct you career-wise.
Yeah, I've currently expanded my options. I think around A-levels, I knew I wanted to do something to do with finance, but that's a broad industry in itself. So I was just gaining as much in experience as I could to see what would match my skill set the best and what I would enjoy the most. I had a scholarship in commercial banking with Lloyds, but due to COVID, that got cancelled 2 summers in a row. And I think it stressed me out a bit because I thought like that was what I wanted to do. And sometimes you feel like if you don't get it done now, especially people around you are getting those things done and getting those experiences, you feel like, I don't know, just I feel like just the stress of uni makes you feel like you're not going to not do well after, but like you're not following the plan almost. Like, so then recently, well, I've just been through different advice to like expand my options. So currently I'm just looking at stuff like different industries, like, and even through that, I'm learning more, I'm expanding my knowledge. And so I'm glad that happened. But I'm just kind of open to just new experiences.
Great. And you said university is a little stressful. Can you just tell me how it's been with the pandemic? How has it affected you as a student?
I think, from my perspective, because I can't speak on anyone else's, I think university students have been the most neglected. I think, especially as maybe less so for my year, but like first years, but even my year and even the third years, like we're still young people and we've just, you know, left, a lot of people have just left their families' houses. They're not used to being alone. There's a lot of things I think you learn on that journey. Like I said, there's a lot of things I've learned in first year alone, but I can't imagine how it's been for people in first year that have just moved out and there's no social events to meet people. You're just in your room alone. Coming from, some people come from big families and just going into a room alone where you can't really go out, you can't go to campus, you can't even gain. Even though I did first year, I still feel like I'm missing out on uni experience. Even simple stuff that we took for granted, like going to the, I don't know, library during the night or going to the sports and fitness center. And I think also that stuff like gym, I live in a house of six, so we went to the gym beginning of second year, even though COVID was still around, the lockdown wasn't as strict. We were going gym almost every day. And I think it really helped with like our mental health, going out all the time. I think it was just stress relief and doing something as a group. One thing I think we've benefited is that at least where there's six of us in the house, but even still just being in the house sometimes, even I don't like walking, I'm quite lazy. Just recently I've even started to walk and I actually enjoy it because just even getting out of the house is really helpful. I didn't realize how helpful that would be. I think it's made me realize, because I think I've been very lucky in the fact that I don't think everyone does, but I don't think I, after speaking to friends or peers and see what they struggle with, I think I've been fortunate to struggle with like any severe or like extreme mental health issues. But after speaking to people around me, I think, especially when you live with them, like friends that you just see every day at school, you don't really know what's going on in their heads or at home. But I think living with my friends, that like we talk about it all the time, like I feel like it's quite raw, like there's nowhere to hide. Like you can't just, of course you can have your privacy, but someone will realize when something's up. So that leads to conversations. And yeah, I think it's just been very eye-opening for me just seeing like what everyone goes through something and how different situations affect everyone differently. And just that, how prevalent mental health is in our age group alone and how much COVID has impacted that.
Yes, I can totally understand that. And I'm wondering, turning 20, this whole series is on big birthdays and 20 is a big one.
Yeah.
And one of the things we do is we reflect, we kind of look at our life. And I'm wondering how turning 20 in the middle of a pandemic, what you've reflected on and how that's made you feel.
I think it's not just I wouldn't say it's just still linking it to the pandemic and being 20, but I think that was all simultaneously happening, moving into uni. So I think I reflected a lot on, and still am, change, detachment. And I say detachment because I think if you asked me before I came to university while I was in London, if I would ever consider moving out, I would say no. And it wasn't because I was attached to where I live or the address. I think it was more so like the people around me, friends, family. I just couldn't see myself just starting a new life by myself. However, after, I remember like I've had the same friends for most of my life up until that point. Even when I went to sixth form, I don't think I really made an effort to make a lot of new friends or put effort into it, because in my head I thought, okay, I have my friends, but it's fine to make new friends, or, you know, like you can have new friends. But in my head, it was just like, these are my friends, I don't need new friends. So when I went to the university I'm at now, a lot of my friends went to the same one, but I went to my own. And I was very, I wouldn't say, I think I'm social, but I think sometimes I'm quite reserved, introverted until maybe. So I was quite worried. I was thinking, oh, like, I don't know if I'm going to make friends. I can't see myself going up to someone and just being like, just introduce myself. Luckily, it turned out very well, but I think that in itself, what that taught me and how happy I am now with, because I still have my old friends and I'm very grateful for the people that I met now. I think it just taught me like detachment. And if you ask me now, would I move out of London? I'd say yeah. So it's not just for my friends, just from family. I think just in my head, just not being around them all the time was just so worrying. But now I think I like the fact that I don't feel as attached and I can just like almost float. Almost, I don't know. And also that change, I can still say now, I don't think I'm a big fan of change, but I think I'm starting to acknowledge that change happens, like change is normal. And it's just acknowledging that change is normal. And it's just that, I think when you always think about past memories of the past, you'll think, oh, this is so much better than the present. But 2 years from now, I'm going to look back at this moment and think, oh, that was so much better than that moment. But so I just think it's just, you just have to adapt to the change, but change is normal.
Yeah, change is a big thing. And I can understand you'd reflect about that and look at how change is affecting you, your growth. It's something that happens at every stage in life. But I think perhaps at 20, it's the first time where you really see that impact. You've talked about your friendships and this idea of battling isolation. And I can see how that could be very devastating for young people. I'm curious to ask, when it comes to friendships, what qualities do you look for in people? And has that changed more recently?
I think as like a child in secondary school, I'm going to go from then to now. I think naturally, girls and boys, but more so girls, I think, especially when you go to secondary school, I'm going into this big school. I think it's more so a popularity contest, like, oh, being friends with the most popular, who's the most fun, who has the most friends, who looks the nicest, who has the best things, all those, I think all those things in combination, you just naturally look for. And I think subconsciously as a child, and I think because you're a child, you know, you don't know, you're just naive, you don't really know much. I think it's very easy to be judgmental or, yeah, like you've literally just judged your basis on wanting to be friends with someone. Sometimes just superficial, just, yeah, I just think it's very different to now. I think now I look for someone, a friend is someone that you should be able to confide in and talk to or go for advice. And I think it's fine to have different friends for different things or knowing who, and it's not a selection thing. I think it's just knowing that, okay, this person has experience in this thing, they're good for this thing. This person's a good listener. Maybe this is the person I should go to. So I think I look for more like honesty. I think honesty is important. Someone that's understanding and empathetic, because I think especially when, you know, I think there's times where people go, I don't know, maybe just need their own time because anything's happening in their life or they might just be busy, literally. But I think there's some people that take that as an offence if you're just busy, you just don't have time for them. And it's some people because they're understanding and empathetic, they don't even question. Like, I feel like if you're secure in your friendship and you're understanding and empathetic, even if you don't get an explanation for that, I think that happens a lot in uni, because uni sometimes it becomes a lot. So I know with me, a lot of my friends that are not here and in London, even my family, my mom sometimes really like says, or like, oh, you don't call as much, or like, and it's not that I do it on purpose, but sometimes of course it's a bubble in itself. Sometimes when I'm in my own bubble, and the only reason I speak to people here is because they're here with me. One, we're doing the same thing, we live together, but sometimes I even feel like I'm not neglecting, but it may look like I'm not putting effort in friendships at home or people at home. But I think, so the one in that situation, the friends that I'm that understanding and empathetic, I'm really grateful for, because I don't feel like, oh, I need to explain myself, or oh, they're not going to understand, or oh, like I'm being a bad friend. It's like, they probably understand. And they, like, when there is time, for me, understanding and empathy is really important both ways. Also, I think genuine kindness. With me, I don't, if you're kind to me and like rude to others, or for me, that's just, I don't really, I like someone that's kind to everyone. So like treat everyone the same, because I think that's really, is insignificant if you're kind to me and you're rude to others. Like, as I say, like they say, birds of a feather. Flock together. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. As if, like, so I think even, not that it's a thing of being ashamed or shameful, but friends reflect each other, family reflect each other, friends reflect each other. So I think, yeah, so I think just being kind to people, someone that's kind to everyone, really. I think that's my three main things. So I think it's changed a lot since I was younger.
Yeah, and not surprisingly so, because we start to learn and become more discerning, don't we? So my next question is, at age 20, what are you most proud of in your life?
Personal wise or achievement wise?
You can answer it however you wish.
I'd say achievement wise, I think I was quite proud when I got a scholarship in sixth form and uni, but I think I was more so proud for the scholarship in sixth form, because initially I went to a state school for my secondary school experience, and then for sixth form I went to a private school. It wasn't just because it was a private school. I think it was doing something that I thought I couldn't. I think I doubt myself quite a lot. I have a lot of self-doubt. So I think even when I applied, I didn't apply with the expectation of getting in or getting the scholarship. I was shocked for both. And it wasn't like an excitement shock. It was literal shock. Like, I just didn't expect it at all. So I think I was proud of that. And then also how I think it sounds quite easy and simple, but I think how I transitioned between the two environments at that age, I think is one thing. Maybe just go, even though it's still, that's even a different experience in itself, but I think even transitioning in year seven, but I think the schools I went to were two very different schools. So I think how I transitioned and adapted, and I think I was proud of both getting in and doing that transition. So I think it sounds very simple, but I think for me it was just two very different experiences. So I think it took me a while as well to, as I said, be more open to it, because I was open to it, but I was still very much reserved in the first year of my sixth form. So like, that's something I wouldn't say regret, but I wish I didn't do. Yeah, but I think that was just because of the transition and the age. But I'm very happy that I even went through that experience in itself. And I'd say, personally, I'd say I'm proud of how I handle difficult situations or situations when I'm not in my comfort zone. So I wouldn't say I push myself into comfort zones that are uncomfortable or uncomfortable situations. Even so, when I do find myself, I feel like I'm thrown into the deep end, I think I handled it quite well. And I don't, even if there's things that I'm, that obstacles I think I'm facing, I don't allow it to like hinder me or put me off or demotivate me for too long.
Brilliant. And this pretty much follows on the back of that, perhaps. You'll obviously answer for that. Can you tell us a time when you were brave? And what did you do that made yourself brave in that moment?
I say now. I'd say even the podcast in itself, I think it's one of many similar. As I said, I think I'm trying to push myself more. So I think that's one of many. I think, as I said earlier, you can always find multiple reasons to be scared or like act out of fear and just worry about all the reasons you shouldn't do something. So I think even though it's a podcast and it's a conversation and simple, but I think just being able to train the mind and like combat the mind when it's telling you to do something, telling you not to do something, and telling yourself like, no, it's fine, you can do it. Like as you said, like the devil and the angels, that's literally what goes on. And I think another example of that, back to the uni thing, I think going to uni by myself was a big, big step for me. Because even within my friendship group, I was probably the least sociable, not because I didn't want to socialize, but not even just to new friends. I could be with my friends and they'll probably be very much sociable and I'll just be sitting there. I will still speak, but I think I was the most reserved. So I think even the fact that I made as many friends as I did was even a shock in itself, not only to me, but even to like, oh, wow, you made friends. So I think, that for me, because I feel like I was quite brave in that. And I feel like that's most people, a lot of uni students go to universities alone. I think that's normal. That's how it is. That's how it should be anyways. But especially when the majority of your friends are going to the same uni and thinking, cool, now I want to go to this uni, so I'm just going to do it by myself. I think doing that and then acknowledging that's one of the best decisions I made, I think I'm quite happy with that. I think that was a brave thing to do.
Brilliant. Miss Garner, can you tell me, do you have a life motto? Is there a life motto that you tend to follow?
I don't know if it's a motto. I think back to the whole understanding, empathy, and perspective. So it's not a motto in itself, but I think those three things, I think the last couple of years is things that I've come to realize are important. I think that in any situation, like in anything, whether that be relationships, academic, anything, friendships, family, I think life's not black and white. I think when you're younger, it looks like that, it's black and white. Especially, I think even with parents, you just think, I don't know. I think as a child, you expect your parents to be superheroes. Like even me and my friends talk about it all the time. I used to just be like. Imagine one day we just had a child now. In our heads, we're kids. We haven't even started in the world yet. But if you had a child now, to that child, you're a superhero, you can do everything, you can't do no wrong. But I think And it wasn't that it was stemming from that, like the parent side of things, just through like when thinking about understanding perspective and empathy. Sometimes I just, whenever I look at situations or give advice on situations, I think I always apply that. Like even if you ask my friends, if they come with me something of a situation, or even if it's a petty, like, oh, this person did this to me, da, 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 da. It almost sounds like I'm not on their side. Most of my friends know I wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, you're right, da, da, da. Because like in my head, there's always another side, there's always another reason. Even through like my own experiences or communication, I've seen that there's always an explanation for why someone has done something that you haven't even realized, but that's what they've acted on. So I think, yeah, just perspective, empathy and understanding.
I'm wondering if your motto is, there's always another side to the story.
Yeah, probably better said.
Tell me, and I find this a very interesting question, it's so incredibly personal, but for you, Miss Garner, what doesn't matter and should never have mattered?
How others view you. And not in the ignorant sense, like in a sense where don't let your life revolve around that. Don't let the actions you take revolve around that. Don't let that stop you from doing things that you'd want to do, but as like that you're just suppressing, or as you said, or just, yeah, stopping yourself from doing. And that could be in your actions, not like, that could be through new opportunities, that could be through self-appearance, that could be through, I don't know, things you choose to do.
Great. And I'm also going to ask you now, I'm going to ask you two questions, and they've got two sides to it. What did a parent or a wise guardian tell you that was completely and utterly right?
I think one thing I've realised that is right growing up, I think there's a lot of things, but I think the most prominent one, when certain situations happens or things happen that just pings in my head, like, oh, mum did say this, I think is not to have many friends. And not that you shouldn't avoid making friends, but I think, and when I used to hear that, I used to think, but why? Like, what's wrong with having too many friends? Like, and then through, for me, I don't think I'll ever give them a reason, but then for me, through just, yeah, around 20 or that, just this age, I think one, if having too many friends, they could sometimes be conflicts of interest. Sometimes you may feel, maybe your time maybe, or effort may be spread amongst them. There may be conflict between two of your own friends, but I think that the likelihood of that increases as you have many friends. And it's like, it may be a difference of opinion, different of character, difference of just multiple things. And I think, yeah, I think the more you have, or, and I think it's fine, but I think you can, I think if you have a lot of friends, all of them can't be your close friends. You can't dedicate enough time. You can't tell everyone your personal business. You can't put in effort that you'd like to put in. And even with me, one thing I really am, as I touched on earlier, I do feel bad when I don't feel like I've given a friend or friends enough of my time. It's not because, oh, I should just be there all the time. It's just, I don't want someone to ever feel like, oh, I've forgotten about them, or I'm too busy for you, or I'm not making an effort, because I think vice versa, I'd feel the same. I think having too many maybe, and it even wears you out, because you're thinking, oh, this person, that person, check on this person, that person. So yeah, I think that, and then also distractions, not that friends are distractions, but linked again to the time thing, and having friends for different things, or different friends are best for different things. Just, especially if you're trying to be focused in a period of time, especially university, I think it's very easy in uni to get distracted, especially when you live with your friends and then you have friends elsewhere, and there's maybe social events or things you want to do, but you have this task in front of you and you have maybe different goals that you want to achieve and you set yourself. And I think especially at a young age when you're battling, like, okay, but I'm not getting this experience again. How do I balance it? And not that they're doing anything wrong, because I probably do the same to them, but they're saying, no, let's do this, let's have fun. Like, and some of my friends, for example, are going a year abroad next year. And we always talk about how in first year, you can still do well, but still make sure to have fun. I think in first year, a lot of us, especially because you're new to the experience, we still tried, maybe not our utmost best, but we tried. And we look back and think, oh, we could have had more fun, especially because of the pandemic, we could have really had the time, but we said we don't want to go out. We could have just went out. Like, we should have just went out. And it's like, sometimes I sit here and I think, oh, like, of course, uni is, and that's why I'm here. But then you think, oh, like, a lot of these people, like, everyone goes in their own direction. Maybe you should try and balance it more, not be so like uni. But then I think, again, having too many friends, makes that battle even harder, I think.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think you're talking about giving quality time to a smaller group,
yeah,
and also perhaps not watering down friendships by having too many and losing the focus that you need to have when you're studying.
Yeah.
So the other side to that question is, what did a wise parent or a guardian tell you that was completely and utterly wrong in your experience?
I don't think it was actually said, but I think implying that life is linear. I think, yeah, like even in regards to the stage I'm at now, I think when you're young, you're just told, yeah, go to school, then go uni. Then when you do well in uni, you're going to get a great job and that's your life set. And I think for young people finding that out, because obviously you find that out in your own experiences and your own time and all of that, I think it's quite shocking, or like, oh, like, I think it can even demotivate you for a while. But I think even just through speaking to people that are adults now, and most people you speak to, they'll tell you, I did this, then it led me to this, it led me to that. So it was never a straight path. So even I think that in itself gives me comfort anyways, because it's like, okay, no one's life's ever linear. Like, it's no one's life. That's not how it works. But I think that in itself is quite like, oh, wow, like, that's not how life works. So I think, yeah, finding out that life isn't linear.
I think that's exceedingly wise. It's actually something I find myself, if I was to be an annoying adult giving an unwelcome piece of advice to a teenager, it's exactly that, actually. So I find that fascinating. Don't think you have to have your whole life planned out, because it'll wiggle and it'll weave, and all of that lays foundation blocks for whatever it is in the future that you will do.
And I think having that expectation that it will be, and thinking that it still will be, I think that is even will impact you negatively, because you think, oh, I'm failing, or I'm not doing it right, I'm not doing it well.
Absolutely. Miss Ghana, what makes you feel safe?
I think stability. And not just in myself, but I think in my family, in my friends, in university. I think when there's a lot of things going on, my head literally just goes like this. And I think that affects everything you're doing. Because I think you just, even though this only with myself, but it's probably more academics and like things I want to do or to-do list. But I think for me, writing things down helps me a lot, because like I can see, okay, like just into this, that. Yeah, I think stability. I think I feel very like out of balance when I don't feel like the stability around me or within me. And I think that makes me feel not physically unsafe, but unsafe. Like, oh, like what now? I don't know what to do. Or yeah, I think.
Okay, thank you. And slightly following on the back of that, what's your biggest fear?
Biggest fear. I think there's people, most of my parents, but in general, still there's a lot of people have contributed to where I feel like I am now. That can be academically, that can be growth wise, that can be just being there as a family member or friend. I think it's losing the people I think I care for the most before I'm able to achieve or like to reap the benefits myself, or allow them to reap the benefits also. Yeah. Or just not succeeding in that anyways, I think.
So your fear is that you won't succeed?
Not that. I think that's half of it. I think that's half of it. Yeah. I think the other half is maybe not doing it in time, but just being able to allow those people to see or to reap the benefits. Yeah.
How would they reap the benefits?
I think it's part of it, but not that I think success is like financially. Even if I go with the parent stance, I think as any parents would do, I think they invest in their child, and not financially, just when you nurture a child, I think they invest in a child to see them. And it's not because, of course, that's a gain, or I want my child to be successful, you know, have a good job, like be financially stable, all of these things. But I think they've invested in this, and I think being able to see like what they've done like the outcome of what they've invested in, the outcome of it, and like, oh, like look what he's done and look what he's created, look at the success he's created. And I think even seeing the impact of what we've done, and that you've seen your child happy or successful or financially stable, I think that in itself, I think, is reaping the benefits of that.
So they get to see you happy, stable,
yeah,
financially successful,
yeah,
independent,
yeah, independent actually. That one.
Can you tell me, obviously it's been difficult with COVID and pandemic and lockdown restrictions, but what do you do to ground yourself? What makes you feel relaxed?
I think especially more so now I've realized it when I'm, because we're like alone, really, isolation. I think, so I'm a Christian. So when you're younger, I think it's because your parents told you to be so. It's like because your parents told you to go to church or because... So I think it's more so you're just doing it because you're being told to. And I think there's sometimes there's a period when, well, for myself, I think there's a period where, not that you stop being a Christian, you stop believing God or whatever. I think it's just, because you're not told to do something, you stop doing it. And I think sometimes then you realise, oh, I think you feel like something's missing. And for me, I feel like and when there's a lot of things going on in life, or like uni life, anything, just busy, I think it's easy to just forget that aspect and think, okay, I have a lot going on. Like I have a lot going on, I have time. But then for me, I've realized like, no, but that's what keeps me grounded. So you need to find time for that. So even if it's like praying more often or reading the Bible, because when I was younger, I just saw it, especially when you're younger, like the kids' Bible is just a book of stories or like, yeah, it's just a book of parables and stories. I think I didn't really see the impact of that. Because I wouldn't say I don't really go to church often, especially since I've gone to university. But I think even just reading the Bible in itself, yeah, I think makes me feel grounded and just finding time for that. Even though in my head before when I was younger, I think just reading the Bible, like what can it not do for you, but just reading the book of stories. But as I got older, just even like that in itself is quiet time and alone time, even for yourself or, you know, yes, I think just for me, it's just when I feel stressed or when I have a lot going on, I think just having like quiet time, praying, reading the Bible, I think that makes me feel grounded.
So if I'm understanding, is it your faith then that makes you feel grounded?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that you are kind to yourself?
Not always. I think I'm very hard. I think I have high expectations of myself. And I think when those expectations, I'm quite harsh on myself. But then it's like when I give advice to others, I'll just be like, oh no, like you need time for this or time for that. But I think, yeah, sometimes I'm quite harsh on myself. Even like finding time to like, I remember like, I think it was after like an assignment or exam period, like a couple months ago, for the first time in forever, I remember just sitting in my room all day just watching like movies. And I don't remember the last time I did that. And even that in itself, I realized like, even though it just sounds basic, just constantly thinking you have like, there's always going to be a list to get done or things to do. But I think you have to find time for yourself and just take a breather. Because I remember sitting there just thinking like the fact you haven't done this in a long time. And even sometimes in my house, when my friends ask, oh, like, let's watch a movie, let's do this. I think a lot of the time, I'm just like, no, I can't do that. Not because I don't want to do it. I'd love to do it. But I just feel like I have a million and one things to do. And if I don't get it done, like, oh, like, you're just, you know, you're wasting time. But really and truly, I need to remind myself sometimes that spending time with friends or just having fun and just that in itself is being kind to yourself. So I think just sometimes telling yourself, like, that will get done when it needs to get done. Of course, there's a deadline for everything, but you need to enjoy yourself and not miss out on experiences as well.
Yeah. It's difficult to find that time, isn't it? And also to not have this incessant drive to always feel like we need to be doing.
Yeah. I remember reading something, I don't know where, it might have been Instagram, and it was saying like, I don't remember the exact words, but around the like notion of just because you're busy all the time, you're doing something all the time, doesn't mean you're getting things done or you're being efficient, you're being productive. Like you're just there I think people confuse, and that was, I think, was an eye-opener for me. Like being busy as being productive. It's not the same thing. So I think just knowing that.
Yeah, that's a great insight to realise at 20. I think I was much nearer to 40 before it dawned on me that busyness does not equal productivity. And I'm interested, certainly within my industry, busyness and being stressed almost was a little bit of a very strange status symbol. Is that something that you reflect and you notice in your with your age group?
Like being, yeah, I think it's subconscious. I think I can never give an example of like, there's been instances where I may look like I'm busy, or I am busy, as I said, it's not productive, but I might be like, oh, I can't just have this to do. I have a phone call, Zoom call, a meeting, I have to apply to this. And I remember having a conversation with my friend, and they felt like almost like everyone around them had things going on, or they were doing something productive. So it made them feel like, okay. And I've also felt like this on the other side, but just given this example, they felt like that they weren't doing enough, or maybe they were being unproductive because they felt like everyone had things they were doing. But I think the one that comes from comparison, I think comparison is the worst thing you could do. And also, yeah, I think that's just it's just your thinking that because I have so many things to do, it might just be I've crammed all of this in one day. I think so. It's just comparison and assumptions, maybe. And I feel like that sometimes when I feel like, oh, like they're just busy. Like they must have a lot to do. They must have put a lot of things in place, or they're working towards a lot of new things. But I think I'm able to, as I've got older, I think I compare a lot less than I would do when I was like in secondary school. Well, that's their journey. This is yours. There's other times that you've been busy, but right now you're not, and that's fine. But they just happen to be people that we don't. I think it's not spoken on, but I think it's not that it's university, but just other extracurricular, or other things, or other work opportunities that people have going on. I think it's like, oh, I don't think it's said in like a malicious way or it's conscious, but I think it is a status thing. Like, oh, I've got uni, but I have this going on for me as well. And then something might look at me and think, oh, like I wish I was like that person. Like they're being very productive for their age, or they're doing so well. Yeah.
It's a deception, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me, you may have already answered this, but I'm wondering if it's a slightly different question. What has been the one biggest influence, good or bad, on your life so far?
I want to say is this people or is this anything?
It's whatever you want.
I want to say my mum, because, and not just because she's my mum, but I think she, seeing how she deals with, like, growing up and reflecting back on it, I think seeing how she deals with certain situations or people or scenarios, I think is taught me the importance of empathy and understanding. I think that allows you to, that links into like forgiveness. When I was younger, I think I was very, grudges was like my thing. I used to hold grudges all the time. I just thought people knew what they did. People knew right from wrong. People like, well, I'm not going to explain to you what you've done wrong. Like, you know what you've done. But I think when you grow up, or when I've grown up, I've just realized like your right and wrong is different. Someone else's right or wrong, as basic as you might think it is. And same, you might think you're doing something good, you might be doing something bad in someone else's books. I think, yeah, my mom used to always tell me from young, like about the importance of forgiveness and stuff like that. But I think it's only when I'm reflected on how she's handled certain situations, I think, wow, like, and like what peace that can bring you as well. Because I would not be as peaceful as you are right now, but it's because of the understanding and the empathy and the forgiveness that's allowing that. So I think that's probably one of the biggest influences. So I would say, yeah, that one.
That's great. It's very powerful. So I'm interested, you are only 20, but of course, you know, your childhood and your school days are not so far away. If you could go back in time and revisit a younger version of yourself, and it could be any age, and give them a piece of wisdom, a piece of advice that you know now at 20, what would be that piece of advice? And when would you go back to in your childhood and go, come on, this is what you need to do?
Back to the whole like grudge thing, and not that the communication aspect comes from just from grudges, but just in general, I think communications has led me to learn, or the learning the importance of communication has led me to learn all of the like the themes and like words I've brought up today, I think, or like characteristics. I think through communication, you can learn of a lot of things. You can understand a lot of things. You can fix friendships, relationships, problems. From sometimes it can just be a minor misunderstanding. Like I could think of like a time where I had a friend, well, I'm still friends with her, but she thought that just like, just, you know, little secondary school, like, because looking back now, it's just funny to laugh at. But I remember then it was, we thought we didn't like each other because of either what we were hearing or what we were, I don't know, the way each other was acting. But after like months through communication, we learned like that was just a misunderstanding. That was me acting on something because of what you've done, but you've done that because of what I've done, and then vice versa. And that just goes on and on and on. And I think that I'm only bringing that up because of that's one when I was younger. And I think that was just during secondary school. But I think that theme of like that wow moment when you communicate with someone has I think it happens in everyone's life. And I think it's a reoccurring theme in mine. And it's just, and I think it makes you acknowledge that, no, whatever happens, you have to communicate because of all the, like, if you've experienced all of this and you've seen the impacts or the misunderstanding that came out of all of that, it just makes you, like, when you're older, when I'm older now, when I'm 20, I just, like, it's made me realize that, no, whatever, no matter how uncomfortable it is, maybe if you're not comfortable doing it now, like, just knowing that you will, that's a conversation or thing that you need to have, I think is really important. And I think I've done quite well. I think if I spoke to my younger self, I think, even though I don't think I'm as good as I need to be or should be, I think I've done quite well. I don't think, for some people, back to the grudges thing, yeah, I don't hold grudges at all. Yeah, I even have friends, like friends, obviously, because now I've met them at the age of 19, 20. They would just say, for example, like if you ask them who them, like we've had even conversations recently, they would say like, I'm the most forgiving person they know. But if you met me 4 or 5 years ago, I held grudges and I didn't feel bad about holding grudges. I just felt like that was my right. Like I didn't feel the need to forgive or to move on or to, because in my head I can move on, but I don't need to, like, that's done. So I think the communication thing.
That's really wonderful to hear, actually, because I think that idea of misconception and also assuming that reality is one thing and that there is just this one big reality and it's the one that you've got in your head, where what you're saying is that you could see that there are other realities, and that's where that communication is so important, to let them speak their reality. And then you go, oh, well, that's just a miscommunication, and something that's, you know, in a conversation is really easy to sort. I think that's very wise advice, to be able to go back to your school days and give that younger version of yourself that was holding those grudges. But it sounds a little bit to me like you figured it out anyway.
I think not. Yeah, I think even if sometimes you haven't reached the stage you want to be at, whether that is communication, even acknowledging that's something that you need to do your work towards, I think that in itself is good. And I remember, I think that's the podcast, I can't remember which one it was, but I think I remember hearing, and it stuck with me, that back to the reality, what you spoke about being a, like, there's not one reality. And they said that you're like the main character in your life, you're like the main character in your movie, and everyone works around you. So you think everything everyone's doing is like attack you or because of you, or they haven't thought about you. But really and truly, in their movie, they're the main character, and they're not thinking about you. They're not, their actions is not to do with you. And even like a book I read, it's called The Four Agreements. I think it's by Don Ruiz. I don't remember the last, Don Ruiz something. And it's four agreements, so there's four chapters. The one that I think stuck with me the most was not taking things personal. And I think it's just building on what I just said about the whole character thing.
Yeah.
Like, people don't do things because of you. Most of the time, they haven't considered you, not because, like, maliciously, but they had just acting out of their own emotions or their own. And then in your head, because you're the main character of your own stories, like, oh my gosh, they've done this, they've done that to me, like, how could they? But really, truly, most of the time, they probably wouldn't have thought of you, or they didn't think it would have affected you. So I think communication is really important.
I think you're bringing up some really important points here, that communication is so important because of that inner narrative that you talk about there, that we just make these assumptions that other people's behaviours are as a direct result or because of us.
Yeah.
Whereas so often when you have that conversation, it's entirely separate. And that whole inner dialogue that you could have spent hours, days, or even weeks over was completely made up.
Yeah, you create scenarios in your head. Like, and it's like when you speak to them, you almost feel dumb. Not dumb, but like, oh, wow. Like in your head, you can create someone to be a villain. And then when you hear this ad, it's like, wow, like, I understand. So that's where I feel like the empathy comes in. It's like, okay, that's my fault. Even though someone may have still been wrong, just because someone's wrong. I think with me, I always look at intentions. So I think everyone is human, so everyone's going to do something that's either going to disappoint you or like upset you, or like that's just like same way I probably do a lot of things that upset or disappoint other people. But I think it's just knowing that, yeah, not that everyone should just get a pass just because the intention was good, but it's like if someone's attention is good and your friend or your family, you can express their upset, you can tell them where they went wrong. That in itself is a learning curve for them. And then you can just move on because the intention was never bad, it was good. It's just a thing of everyone's learning on their own journey. So like, as I feel like that's your duty as your friend or a family member to just educate them on that.
That's a very good point. I think you're absolutely right. Intention is paramount in these situations because it's very easy to make mistakes. And that's one of the things I think we have to be most forgiving of ourselves as well as those around us, that we are going to make mistakes. And actually, there isn't a cutoff point. I can tell you this, Miss Garner, for free. You don't get to 30 and stop making mistakes, or 40 or 50 or 80. You know, we've got this terrible thing in society that mistakes are this wrong, bad thing, whereas it's just a learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to rebrand mistakes. And in fact, in my son's primary school, they're very good at that. It's just a new way of learning. That was just something, I'm just learning another way of doing something. That's all it is. And I think that's really important that young people understand that it's just a journey and a mistake is just a bend in the road and actually can sometimes take you in a really interesting direction. And actually, how many times do we say, oh, well, that was the best thing that ever happened to me? So often a negative, what seems to be a negative experience, opens a door into something really extraordinary and exciting, but it maybe didn't look that way at the time. So thank you for talking to me today. It's been really, really interesting hearing, and I'm very grateful for you sharing your thoughts and feelings on your life at age 20. I'm curious, having done this now, what will you take away from having this conversation with me?
I think even like looking at the questions and listening to them, I think sometimes you do things without realizing it. So even talking about it has made me acknowledge certain things. I think, yeah, just it makes me more conscious of it. And I think, I was even going to say earlier, I think, like, even the questions that you asked me, I think that's even conversations I would even be happy to have with my friends, because I think it's worded in a way that makes you think about your experiences. And I think it would just be interesting to hear how, like, other people around me, like, their experiences. I think it would just make me think more. I think after this conversation, I'm not just going to stop thinking about it. I think I'm going to think and continue to think about, like, maybe when certain situations occur or experiences, like, occur, I think I'm going to look back and think, oh, wow, like, what I said earlier, what I was asked earlier on that in the podcast. And I could even add to that. So I think, yeah, I think it's been really interesting. It went really fast as well.
Well, that's good. And I've got one last question, which I'm curious, very curious to hear. You know, I'm interviewing women from 20 up to 90. Is there a particular age that you'd be really, like, if you go and look at all of those recordings and you go and click on one, what's the age do you think you'll go to?
I think I'd go for two. I think 90, because I'd love to hear like the experiences and wisdom that comes out of someone that's lived life and lived throughout all the ages. Like, I don't think my experiences are new. I think that's just life. So I think just hearing how that transitions throughout her life, I think would be really interesting. And I think 30, only because I think people have this milestone or age that, or by this age you should have. Not that 30 is the milestone, but because I'm now at 20, I think when I was younger, I thought 20 was such a big age. I think during your 20s, everything's going to happen. By 30, your life is sorted. You just need to you're stable at 30. So I think I'd love to hear like what a 30-year-old is doing now. And I hope it's not, I kind of hope it's not what I think it to be, just so like I know like that's not how, like, as I said, back to the linear thing, life isn't linear. So I think I'm just really interested to see what a 30-year-old would say. Like not even when I was younger, even 2-3 years ago, I'd say like I still thought by 30, yeah, you'd have the job you want to be in, you have the house you want to be in, probably thinking about having kids, getting married. But I think now at 20, it's just like, whoa, like that's just too soon.
That's wonderful. Well, you will have the opportunity to listen to the other recordings and hear what all these fabulous women have to say about their lives. Yeah. It's brave for a 20-year-old young woman to do this, because I think it probably feels more exposing in some respects to you. So well done for doing it.
Definitely, I enjoyed it.
Thank you again, Miss Garner. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope it's been an enjoyable experience from your end.
Thank you so much.